Hello, little flock. The great promise in the Word is that we will see Him as He is one day, and when we do, we will be like Him. We're going to read that verse again this morning. So take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 3. This morning we come back to our study of the epistle of 1 John, and in particular to a passage of Scripture that many people have misunderstood, but it can be understood and it can be applied in all of life. You know, the Word of God is given to us to show us why life is the way it is. Why are there troubles in the world? Why are there unhappy homes? Why is there strife and hatred and so many terrible things in life? And the answer that the Bible gives to us is sin. Sin is the root cause of every tear, every pain, every heartache, every sorrow. But in love and grace, God has done something about the problem of sin. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has provided a means by which the grip of sin can be broken in our lives, and we can be gripped by another greater force, and that force is love. In our last study of 1 John, we read chapter 3, verse 1. I think we should read it again to get a running head start on our verses of Scripture today. So verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Although we were sinners, God's love reached out to us in Christ, and when we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, the greatest miracle in the world took place. We were saved, born again, God's very own life and nature was put within us, and we became the children of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And so when you're saved, you are a radically different person than you were before. Something has changed at the very core of who you are. 2 Peter says that we have become partakers of the divine nature. So there is now within each and every one of us the divine life of God within us that's changing our personalities, changing our very nature, giving us a nature more and more like Christ. Verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. In other words, one day we will be just like Christ, who is like God, and that hope works within us a desire to become more and more like Christ every single day of our lives. And we want to get to the place where sin is almost a distant memory in our lives. And here's why. Verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin is the power that works in us, and it is an attitude of rebellion. What John is talking about here in sin is not a particular act of sin. He's talking about that sin nature that we all have, and what it is, it's an attitude of lawlessness. Rather than having an attitude of lawlessness, we want to have an attitude of obedience. Now, the definition of lawlessness is simply this. It's my desire to have my own way. That's it. Lawlessness expresses itself in acts of sin from the temper tantrum of a baby to the rebellious years of a teenager to the more sophisticated sins of us adults. It's living life ignorant of, willfully ignorant of, or ignoring God's will. And that sense of lawlessness, that attitude or mindset of lawlessness, then leads to particular acts of sin, which bring so much hurt or anger or frustration or sorrow in our lives. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah talked about this when he prophesied about Christ's sacrifice for our sins, and it's amazing that he gets it so right. Of course, he's got God as his inspiration. But listen to this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's lawlessness. That's sin. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. You see, our sin nature is an attitude of wanting to do what I want to do, no matter what anybody else says. It's like the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that? He said to his father, "Hey, pops, don't want to live under your authority anymore. Don't want to follow your rules and regs. Give me my dough. I'm out of here." That's lawlessness. Christ, on the other hand, lived in obedience to his father. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And because of that, he delivered us from sin. Verse 5. "And you know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Well, if there's no sin in Christ, then what is in him? Obedience, righteousness. In us is lawlessness. In Christ is obedience. But then he became sin for us who knew no sin, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in him. And when we come to him by faith, we receive the greatest gift of all. We're born again. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome sin. And it even motivates us to want to overcome that sin nature. Verse 6. "Whoever abides in him," in Christ, "does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." Now, here is the verse where I said people get very mixed up and confused. It says here, "Whoever abides in him," and that's you and me, we're united to Christ, "whoever abides in him does not sin." Startling statement, isn't it? Is that true in my life? No. Is that true in your life? No, no. Back in chapter 1, John wrote, "If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us." So a Christian can and does sin, but we can understand what this verse means when we understand the Greek verbs for sins, practices, commits, does. All of those verbs are in the present continuous tense. And therefore, verse 6 means this: whoever abides in Christ, whoever is born again, does not continually live with an attitude of lawlessness. John's not talking about particular acts of sin. He's talking about a disposition, an attitude, a mindset. We no longer, as children of God, live with an attitude of lawlessness. The Spirit of God within us motivates us to more and more want to do the right thing. A Christian is not habitually rebellious against God. What John is talking about is character, prevailing habits. The general characteristic of a true child of God is to love people, to be good, to be kind, to worship the Father. You see, when God promised the new birth in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, he said this. Listen carefully. This is really pretty profound. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." It's the Spirit of God in us, the new nature, that causes us to rebel against lawlessness and to live obediently to God. Being born again, our new nature motivates us to want to do the right thing. Verse 7. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." When the apostle warns us not to be deceived, he says, "Little children, let no one deceive you," we should perk up our ears and listen. Let no one deceive you. And what John is concerned about is not just what we do, but that we understand who we are. The man or woman who is truly a child of God will show this by what he or she practices. An athlete wants to be the best athlete that he can be. So what does he do? Monday morning, play the Rocky theme in your mind. Dun, 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 dun. He goes to Dunkin' Donuts. And he gets a bag of donuts. And then he goes home. and eats all the donuts and watches baseball on TV. No, if he wants to be an athlete, he practices his sport. Practices as an art form. He disciplines himself. He's motivated because that's who he is. If you are righteous, you practice what? Righteousness. That's what the verse is talking about here. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Now, this is a very, very profound verse here. The devil sins from the beginning because that's his nature. The Word of God is telling us here that there is an evil being in the world who works habitually to subvert humanity. It influences, it instigates, it whispers. And the natural man, the person who is not born again, their natural inclination is towards lawlessness, and so they habitually live in an attitude of rebellion, and sinning comes very easy. Bell used to tell me, why does it surprise you when a sinner sins? That's true, because that's who they are. But who are you? Are you that old lawless person, or are you now born again? Are you a child of God? That's John's great theme here. Behold, we are children of God, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ is at work in us. And when we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we can overcome temptation. We can overcome lawlessness. And Christ is working to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Sure, because he can't practice righteousness because it's not his nature. His nature is one of lawlessness. Nor is he who does not love his brother. So one of the great tests of whether or not someone is truly born again is this. Do you see the will of God being accomplished in that person's life? Is that person becoming more and more like Christ? Is he serving in love? Is he reading his Bible? Is he desiring to be with the people of God? Is he reaching out to others with the good news and with the love of God? When you see somebody practicing that, it shows you who they are. When you see somebody habitually living in lawlessness, wanting to do their own thing, ignoring the will of God, then you know that that person is not born again. This was very important for John in his day because there were false teachers who said, look, it doesn't matter how you live. If you believe the great truths, if you know the great mysteries, then you're a child of God. And it doesn't matter if you sin. It doesn't matter how you live. John says that's just not right. Who you are matters. If you really are a child of God, if you have the life of God within you, you'll begin to look a lot like your father. Remember the parable of the prodigal son I told you about earlier? He so lived in rebelliousness that he wound up in a pig pen feeding the pigs. Finally, he came to himself and said, I need to go back to my father and confess my sin. Why did he change his mind and repent and go back to his father? The answer is very simple. His father was not a pig. His father... nature was in his son. If the prodigal son had had the nature of a pig, he would have stayed where? In the pig pen. A believer can sin, but there's something in him or her that says, I can't live like this anymore. And we practice, we move on to more and more righteousness. That's John's proof that we are God's children. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Help us to love you with that pure and joyful heart. Help us to strive to be the best that we can be for not only our own good, Father, but for your glory, and that we can shine as lights in this world. We can have a life that's blessed and abundant and peaceful and full of goodness and kindness. And Father, because of that, we can show others that they too can overcome that disposition, that nature of lawlessness, that they can turn to Christ and become children of the living God. Thank you for what a wonderful life you've given us to live. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.